All right, good morning, everybody. Sorry for starting late because the previous session finished late. But yeah, welcome to the session. We'll try to make this as quick as we can so we can still get back on time. All right. My name is Albert Sals. I'm with Andrew Kosmodakis.
There you go.
Did I say it right?
Yeah, cool. That's good enough.
All right, so.
I've heard some bloody good variants.
Yes, Cos, just call him Cos. We're here to discuss mobile device management, conditional access. And these are our objectives for this session. So mostly to be able to demonstrate the capabilities that we have in the cloud, Intune, Azure AD, to be able to manage our devices in our organizations. So this would mostly go over the EMS features that we have. And if you have the license for EMS, then you can actually implement these types of solutions in your environment. All right.
Who's got the clicker? I've got the clicker. Okay, so quickly cover off Enterprise Mobility Suite. Since we're focusing on, well, Enterprise Mobility and Security, sorry, I still call it by its old name by accident. For those who haven't caught up, we renamed it about 3 months ago, adding the security element rather than suite. And some people even call it EMSS for Enterprise Mobility and Security Suite. So it's up to you guys. But the focus around it was really about bringing people's identities into the cloud is the first thing, right? And managing those identities, whether it be from the thousands of applications that you guys might be trying to consume, the applications we're integrating with, security, user self-service, and so on. The other elements around it being the mobile device management, which a lot of us know. And also, the security elements around conditional access that we're talking about. So we're focusing on a couple of pillars today in particular. But there's information protection, you know, the traditional RMS elements. But also, there's this cloud app security. You know, where is my data going? What's the visibility of my applications and my usage and my identity once it's in the cloud? So what we're focusing on today is conditional access. And conditional access follows the Microsoft mandate around users, devices, applications, and data. Those are the four pillars that everything in Microsoft's cloud is really focusing on from a mobility point of view or productivity point of view. Enterprise mobility is part of Microsoft's cloud platform and builds on top of all the Office 365 elements that you deal with today. We know that there's RMS in Office 365, there's RMS in EMS, it takes it even further than what there is today. There's threat protection elements that exist in Office 365 and Windows 10. EMS builds on top of those elements as well. Where we start to get a little bit more funky is bringing in the elements of like conditional access, where we use the Azure Active Directory and the Intune services to actually provide some security and manageability around how users are connecting and accessing the services within our environment. So think of things like the location a user is coming from. We're in the cloud now, right? We're not no longer making them VPN through our environments and protecting them with our firewalls and our security rules. They could be on a device that's outside of our boundary. Our applications and our services are also outside that boundary now as well. So how do we wrap around some form of security and rules and policy that allows us to have that maintain that control that we're used to when it's coming through our network, through our VPN, through our borders? So conditional access is the rule-based elements to allow us to say, you know what? You're not going to get access to these resources if you're coming from networks that we don't trust. The devices that you're using, maybe we want them enrolled. Maybe we want to know that they're compliant, they're not jailbroken, those sorts of elements. Bringing that into consideration and making sure that we wrap security and controls around it to ensure that, one, the users who are following the rules or the devices that follow the rules enroll, get access to our resources, and are safe inside that. When they break access to those rules, maybe we make them jump through a few hoops, like multi-factor authentication, or block access to the resource altogether. So you can see there's quite a few elements to it. We can get down to quite a granular layer. Although we've listed a whole bunch of stuff, and the top one being user attributes, you know, anybody who's worked in Active Directory knows a user attribute. You're a group, you're in the group, you've got access to a resource, that's the most basic option. We do the same sort of approach in the cloud. The elements around devices and whether their status are an enabled state, a trusted state, domain joined, non-domain joined, what platform they're running on, what type of application they're trying to access, getting down to quite a granular layer, but also the elements of things like, well, what browser are they using? What device are they actually coming from? The user, what sort of session are they coming in on? Are they coming in from a trusted session or an untrusted session? Are they hiding their identity? Do we trust a chatbot coming through? What is the risk factor associated with the user signing in? We take that element of control, understanding, and wrap conditional access around to provide the resources that we want. So what we've decided is we're going to take a bit of a different play. It's the last session on a Friday. The last thing you need is all this information up on screen, reading the screens, trying to figure out stuff. So we're going to do a bit of a role play because, you know, we're funky type of guys. I'm the IT manager. I'm the guy that hounds Albert, the poor guy.
And I'm the IT admin working hard like a dog. Yeah. Thank you, guys. All right, so please get ready for some very bad acting.
We're horrible actors. We're not actors. We're technologists. So Contoso has a problem. We've got corporate devices that are acting as, you know, servers that act as corporate devices. We've got personal devices coming into our environment. We have the desktops that our users are accessing. We've got people going home and accessing devices, their kids' iPads and so on, if you really want to focus on that one, earlier sessions in the week. But we are trying to figure out the way to make sure that we are secure. Our board is coming down on us and going, security is a big factor. We've been pretty relaxed for quite some time. Let's take a bit of a more security-centric approach. My boss is coming down on me and hounding me at the moment and going, I need security. So what do? Pass off the blame, right? I'm going to make the problem Albert's problem.
Always the case. Yeah.
Who's got a manager that does that? Sweet. So in the first scenario, we're going to talk about conditional access from Intune in particular. So Albert, I've got a problem. The board has realized that we're a bit insecure. The email is their main application suite that they're using. They're really driving us to think about change. So I've got to worry about security. I'm worried about our email.
Right.
We use email as our primary method of communications, our primary delivery methods. God knows my boss even uses it as his file store.
Sure.
So I need to be a bit smarter. I need to be a little bit more secure. They're really concerned about the way that we're accessing you're letting people access our email from the devices that they're just randomly picking up and so on. How do we wrap some security around it? I need to do something a bit better.
So basically you're telling me you want to know that whoever is accessing our resources, it's the right user.
Correct.
Right? And it's on a device that we support and that we would allow.
Correct.
Cool. You're very lucky because like everybody in this room, I'm proactive.
Are you?
So I've been
great.
Doing my research.
Must write that back down for your KPIs, right, so we can talk about it during your review.
Cool.
Show me your proactiveness.
All right. So I've been doing some search on this using Bing. And let me go back to the search criteria. And I type real quick, right? So there you go. Ah, that's the first one that I saw. So let's see the conditional access for Exchange Online. Great, so this is exactly what I saw before. Just the first one that comes to the list of Bing, you see in Intune conditional access.
Nice.
So this solution, because I've been trying it out actually, just to let you know, that we will be able to restrict access to Office 365, all the services that we have in the cloud. So we would probably be able to create policies, which we call compliance ones. So we can say that this device is compliant, this one is not. We let the compliant one through, the other one won't, okay?
So we're not gonna impact my Skype for Business users, are we? I need to protect email.
We can be as specific as applications. So we can do things just for email and other things for SharePoint, for Skype, or even Salesforce. It's not restricted just to third-party applications or Microsoft applications, so it's the whole lot.
That's
great. Protect. Yeah. So other than that, we can make our users do enrollment before they can actually access our services. Isn't that cool?
That sounds good. It sounds like what we're needing. We need to be a little bit more secure. By the way, we're trying to take a bit more of a security-focused approach, lockdown, and you know, we're trying to work away from that in some areas, but this is the most restrictive model we're going for. So I need the most restrictive model we can possibly put in right now. I want to get that going. I want to see what our users are going to say. And if we need to take a bit more of a relaxed security approach, we'll take that later on. But right now, let's get locking down, make this thing secure, and make sure people are jumping through the hoops we want them to jump through.
Yes, and because we already purchased EMS, we have that capability now.
That's what those PFV guys came in and deployed for us last month, right?
Yep.
Great.
Exactly.
Cool.
Great. So in this particular slide that we got off this search, we see we have what we exactly need, devices. So we can say if it's domain joined, we let it through. If it's compliant or not, then we put in our controls there. Platform is not a problem because it can work on iOS, can work on Android, or even Windows Phone, if there's any left.
You mean to tell me that Microsoft's supporting platforms other than its own?
Exactly.
Okay.
We love other platforms, right? So we're inclusive. And yeah, and we talked about earlier your question about SharePoint versus Exchange, different policies. Yeah, yeah, we can do per app one.
That's awesome.
Yep.
So hold a second, but we're talking about devices. I want to worry about this. Well, I've got to think about web browsers. Mm. If somebody's going to OWA, you know, how do we provide that similar type of level and go, well, actually, you've got to come through our hoops again when it comes to going to the, you know, it's Office 365, mate. It's online. I need to be concerned about that.
It's the service that we're trying to protect. So whatever medium you're trying to use to get to that one, we can actually control,
great,
whether it be OWA or the Outlook app.
Awesome.
And
how does it work?
Well, you should have asked me that first.
I forgot my cue.
All right. So
told you we're bad actors, right?
If you have, for example, a user that's got Outlook app on his phone or whatever device.
Well, just like I do normally, right?
Yeah, yeah. So assuming that that's the first time that you're going to try and sync, right?
Yep.
The first thing that happens, yeah, he tries to put in his user credentials. Where does he authenticate against?
Well, Azure, right?
There you go. So first bit is Azure. So Azure, knowing that you are controlling these settings, you are having Intune in the back end, what does Azure do? Redirect you to Intune, right? At that point in time, you would probably see something that says, before you access anything, you would need to enroll with us, right? Right, because that's what we want. We want all devices that are trying to connect to our services to be manageable. And so, what do you get? Workplace join, right?
Sure.
So during that time when you did your enrollment, that's the time you are going to register your device in Azure AD and in Intune.
Hold a second, not on our local domain.
No.
We're talking about the cloud.
Yes, we are talking about the cloud.
Okay.
All right? So within Azure AD, you get information about your devices, plug it in there so we know your device ID and we set the status to is managed and so on. And at that point in time, you will have a compliant status, all right? Therefore, we can work on our policies and determine whether you are allowed to access those resources or not. So in that case, how do we do that? By using tokens, right? So we issue a token to the Outlook app user, and then he tries to access Outlook, okay? From that point, the token is gathered from Azure AD again. This is your Exchange Active Sync service token. That's the particular service that you're trying to get to.
Yep.
And because you are compliant in this example, yeah, you get through. If your device was not compliant, if it was jailbroken or something, then you would not get through.
So okay. So those guys around the corner that keep jailbreaking their devices,
yes,
and keep wanting to do it their way so they can do whatever they're doing, you're telling me we can actually start to restrict them, because I'm worried about those guys getting what happens on those devices. You're saying that we can actually put a policy in place now that's going to stop them getting access to our corporate resources, the stuff that I'm responsible for, that ultimately I'm going to make you responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
My KPIs versus your KPIs.
Yep.
Are we going to be able to actually control those guys?
Absolutely. And I'm going to show you how.
I love this.
Yeah. Let's go do it. I mean, the demo. Okay. So look at this one, boss. I'm in the Intune portal. And within the Intune portal, you see that we have our policy in there. So in that policy, we have what we call compliance policies. So looking into those policies, I've been playing around with an existing one over here.
It's like you were going to demonstrate it to me.
Yes, I wanted to demo it to you because I'm clairvoyant. And I knew we were going to ask this. Looking at this particular screen, you would see that you have categories here, general system security, device health, device properties, but you can actually just scroll down all the way to all those settings, right? But at this point, I think you're just concerned with a password, right?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that they authenticate to the device. Mm. We've got controls on the device that then allow them to connect to our services because they have to type in their username and password anyway.
Okay.
And then, actually, there was that recent attack on devices, iOS devices. Is this an iOS
Oh, that version, yes, yeah. I remember.
I can't
something
remember.
Before 9 point something, yeah. Right?
Well, it was great that you went and upgraded everybody to 10 manually, but we've got to actually put a control in. What happens if somebody gets a new device and it's not up to the latest version, or they buy a second-hand device?
Cool. Let me go see if I have that in here. Down below, there's your jailbreak setting. Devices must not be jailbroken.
They'll sort those buggers out.
Cool. And then at the bottom, minimum iOS version.
Nice.
So I put in 935 because I know 935 hasn't had the problem that we used to have.
That's great.
So let's go ahead and save the policy. All right. So now that we have a policy, a simple one for now, just because we're testing
it. So we need.
Yep. We can actually go full on if we wanted to later on.
I'll make you do it full. Don't worry.
Yeah. Going to the Exchange Online policy now because that's the particular application that we're trying to protect at this point in time. So here you would see that you can just tick on enable conditional access policy. And it says all platforms, but you can choose specific platforms. Like, I only want to do it for iOS. I only want to do it for Android because we don't have Windows 10 mobile. All right. But yeah, because somebody out there might still have that, we'll just do all platforms, right? But looking at this little piece, although it's kind of small, devices must be domain joined or compliant. So we set our compliance policies earlier, right? So because we have that set, now we're telling it to use conditional access. You need to be domain joined, you need to be compliant before you can do access your Exchange Online.
So it's going to check the Intune compliance policy you created.
Yes.
And then associate it with that Exchange Online policy and then grant me access if I meet the requirements, correct?
You're very correct. That's why you're the manager. So always correct. So anyway, you asked about OWA. And you see here that there's also a setting that says block non-compliant devices on the same platforms as Outlook. Yeah, let's do that for OWA too.
Nice.
Right? And lock non-compliant platforms and for anything that's supported by Intune. Cool.
Nice.
If we wanted to, we can go beyond that and say, let's just target users. All users or selected security groups and obviously exempt ourselves.
Well. But and, of course, the CEO, because we all exempt the CEO from any corporate policy.
So we can do all that.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So the other way that you can do it is...
No, you're not getting an upgrade on your subscription.
No, $41 left. That will be enough to run through this session.
Yep.
So hopefully. So I dive into our directory in Azure AD, right? So under Azure AD... I can quickly click on applications.
At least it's not Silverlight.
Yeah. And wait. And wait. And probably show it later.
This right? is the problem with coming in late.
Yeah, for the interest of time. But essentially, those are the controls that you can put in place.
I'll quickly take a question if you got one. So on-premise is not called Intune, it's called Config Manager. Intune is a cloud-only service. You can have hybrid, of course, with Config Manager and Config Manager and Intune can be a hybrid configuration, but Intune is a cloud-only service.
Yep. But be very careful when you set up which is the management authority.
Yep.
It will be hard to change that later on. So if you set it to management authority on-premises, you better have SCCM on-prem. All right, there you go. We have different applications that we've published or registered in our tenant. So here we got Exchange Online. All right, under Exchange Online, I can go ahead and configure. And you should see that we have here all devices must be compliant, right? Domain joined and marked as compliant for both browser and native applications. That's the magic button that you got here.
So you're saying here now that the compliance policy and the compliance state is actually going through the Azure Active Directory, not just the Intune service.
Yeah.
And So a native app, you mean like my built-in mail app on my Android or my iOS device?
And Outlook on there.
Outlook on those devices.
Yes.
But also now the browser.
Yes, even the browsers. You, okay. If you want, you can try it out.
Let's try it. Let's give it a bash. All right, so this is my private device, right? So this is what I've been using for reading a few things and so on. So I'm going to go and set up mail, which we've already set up previously and forgot to delete off this in the last test.
But you know we've been practicing.
Where are we? Don't you love when you half-bake a demo? So, I'm going to set up Exchange, and you're telling me that you're going to make me go through and register here. And of course, I did the wrong thing again.
Yep. So, if you use that test account that we have, make him log in for, say, the very first time on this device, he should be asked to enroll first before you can access email.
I'll type in our super secure password that we use for our demo accounts.
I don't think anybody can remember its password one.
That's all right. We'll change it. All right. So I'm allowed in. It's authenticated me.
Yep. You're authenticated, but can you access your mail?
Well, what's going on here? I'm getting mail. There you go.
There you go.
Oh, hold a second. It's telling me I've got to do something.
Right. So remember that diagram I showed you earlier, boss?
Yeah.
So that's step number two. So you've tried to authenticate, so you did, with Azure AD. Now you're getting redirected to Intune.
So this is post-authentication checks. It's letting me through the front door for initially, but still not granting me access to the resources.
Correct.
Okay. So I'm going to see what this wants me to do. Where's it taking me?
See, this is now managed at Microsoft.com, which we all know is, yeah, that was very assertive. Thank you.
Hey, can you all get off the Wi-Fi network?
All right. So you get the point, right? So it will work.
Okay. So it wants me to enroll.
Yes.
Great.
And that's what we want our user to do.
All right. Well, then.
And maybe that's what you want your user to do.
Well, what if I don't want to do enrollment? I'm just going to go to Portal.
Oh, yeah, try to go to the portal. We already told it here. Did I save it? Yeah, I did. So in the portal, if you try to go to portal.office.com, do you think you can go through? Who says yes? Can you go through portal.office.com?
Yeah, well, let me sign in.
So fast. Sorry.
Okay, let's run up then.
Can you go to mail? Ooh.
This wants me to re-authenticate. And
are
what?
There no more ask there?
Oh, no, it's asking me to enroll my device. Yeah. It's not even asking for authentication at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's perfect. So now what I have to do? I have to enroll my device, I take it. So this device then becomes under our management, which is what we're trying to achieve.
That's what
love
we want.
Love it. Anybody else love it? Come on, you got to love it.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
All right, so then that's great. We've covered off those elements. That's going to keep the boss somewhat off my case, which hopefully keeps the board off his case. But I was reading on the way in about... I was hearing that everything's around basic authentication when it comes to the mail built-in mail clients on these devices.
Yeah, they are basic if they're using ActiveSync based.
Isn't that the only option these days? I thought we were using what we needed to use.
Yeah, well, we all know, boss, that basic authentication is so old, we don't really want to use that. But the other option that we have is to actually use the Outlook app.
So what's the difference, though?
Well, with the Outlook app, when you sync, we're using what we call modern authentication.
Okay, so it's hipster.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's cooler. Right. It's modern.
And it drinks craft beer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it?
That's probably it.
Well, the real cool thing about modern authentication is that you can do stuff like multi-factor authentication.
That's what those Microsoft guys were telling us about, that they'd set up and it's all ready for us to go.
Yes,
it is. Well, it's a cloud service, so I don't think they actually did a lot, but anyway.
No, do they ever, but anyway, it also supports MAM policy. Have you heard of MAM?
That was that thing that Vanita lady was presenting the other day.
The other day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We won't tell you if you weren't there. So. Yeah. MAM policies. But yeah, that's the cool stuff about it. And it would most likely address these challenges that you were having, you mentioned earlier, right?
Okay.
So we can even do selective wipe if we wanted to, as long as we're using modern authentication. Yeah. But that would mean we need to force our users to use the Outlook app.
Yeah, well, I've still got my built-in app, and I can use my built-in app. You saw that before.
Yeah, you
sparked it up. What are we going to do about it?
There's a couple of ways that we can do, but I need to contact our TAM.
Okay.
Because he gave me some information before, but I kind of lost the PowerPoint. Okay. So let me give him a call. Calling TAM.
Don't think he's paying attention.
I hope he's not eating lunch. Hi, Tam. Can you please give me that information on enforcing the Outlook app on the clients? Thank you. You're so in a hurry, but thanks. All right, cool. Let's see that PowerPoint file. Ooh, it's really nice. I remember it, but I just deleted it. Anyway, if we have a user and she's trying to access Exchange Online using her phone, but maybe using Outlook app, so what the conditional access does is just lets it through because that's what we tell it to do. If it's Outlook app, we let it sync. And if she's using the built-in ActiveSync app, what happens? There you go. It's a lock. You're not allowed to use that. No sync.
What's this Outlook app, though? What sort of experience are they going to get? It's
a much better experience than what you have in the native ActiveSync.
Okay, great.
Right?
Okay, so we're giving them something more.
Yeah. Anyway, that's true, by the way.
That's a blatant plug for the office thing, by the way.
Yeah. So how do you do it? It's actually easy. You just enable conditional access, but only for those that support modern authentication, first step. And the second and last step, wow, two-step process, who gets that? You just tell ActiveSync policies, like a device access policies, to reject anything except Outlook.
But the app's going to remain on the device. So our users, when we issue these devices to them, are going to be clicking on different icons and getting a different experience.
Oh, so you mean you don't want them to even see the...
Well, can we hide it?
They're mostly iOS devices, right, boss?
Yeah.
So if it's iOS, I remember that you can actually just hide it anyway.
Perfect. So they get driven to the one app.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. You want to do it?
Let's do it.
Let's do it again. All right, so jumping back into this Intune portal. So we already had that policy here that says application access all platforms, so they will abide by modern, by conditional access, only those that use modern authentication. So that piece is already solved.
Okay.
So the next part of that step is to configure ActiveSync. Now, we're lucky because we already configured an Exchange connector between Intune and Exchange Online. Otherwise, you would have to jump into the Exchange Admin Center and configure it there. But here, it's just a single pane of glass. Within Intune, we can control some of the ActiveSync policies, too.
So when you're not here and you're sick or on holiday, and I want to tinker, I mean, investigate any issues, I just come into the Intune console. I don't have to jump into Exchange and do PowerShell or any other sort of commands that... will control this.
You can, but don't. Plus.
Great.
All right. This is my baby.
Don't access Intune or don't access Exchange.
Yeah. Anyway, here, first thing you want to do is block all the devices by default. That's the default rule. Block all devices from accessing Exchange. But we can put an exception.
Okay.
So it's easy enough. Just go to add rule over here, platform exceptions, and select a family. You have Outlook there. Select a model. Outlook for iOS and Android.
So how does it understand that this family exists?
Because initially I was trying to get my head around it. I don't see Outlook here. How can I exempt it? You have to sync try and sync from a device. So I played around with my iPhone back home and put an Outlook on it and then tried to sync.
Okay.
By doing that, it just appeared here as Outlook. Funny
nice.
Enough, when I sync with my Windows phone, it doesn't appear as Outlook. Yeah, that's true. It appeared as Windows phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. You saw the Windows 8 phone that was there? That was it.
Don't ask for an upgrade.
Yeah. So here, we need to specifically say allow Outlook and just quickly add that one. All right? Now you mentioned about don't even show the icon for ActiveSync,
yeah,
right?
I need to protect it.
Mm, cool. So that could come under the configuration policies. I tried that as well while you were presenting stuff. Anyway, so I went to configuration policies, and there is one for iOS apps here. And underneath this, there's a lot of settings. And
so are these policies that we can apply to all our iOS platforms?
Mm, true.
Okay.
Yes. But we're concerned about hiding that one. At the very bottom, there's a list here that you can show or hide apps. So quickly, I just put in mail here. So when you look at how I did it, I just click on this one, say edit. It just asks for three things. The name, which is mail, publisher, and the app URL or bundle ID.
I see you've become a developer on me overnight.
No, I wish, but yeah. Anyway, I didn't do that because I can only grab that information anyway from here. So there's that link that shows me how do I get that information about bundle IDs and stuff like that that only developers would know. Yep, it's just from a link.
So Microsoft's providing this to you by default?
Yes, they are.
Great.
And in this list, I can block anything from calculator, calendar, camera. But yeah, we're just concerned with the mail over there, right? So I just plug that into this space, just click OK, and we're good to go. And if you want, we can look at your device.
Okay, so my device is finishing its enrollment stuff over here at the moment. So, all right, I've got access to Outlook. Should have access to that. There we go.
Oh, yeah, you have.
All right, I'm seeing all my emails coming through, all you logging in areas and doing things, but.
So my challenge to you, can you use your ActiveSync native app?
Where
if
is
you
my
can
app?
Find it.
Where is my app?
It's gone,
okay.
Eh?
So you've hidden it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we need. The user experience here now drives them to the Outlook app.
Yes.
We've got our security and our control measures in place.
Mm-hmm.
Authentication's taking place.
Yep.
If we want to wrap additional security around it like we did with enrollment or multi-factor authentication, we can.
Tick. You're missing one thing.
What's the last thing I'm missing?
My erase. Tick.
No. You're out.
Okay.
That's awesome. I really like it. Thank you.
Cool.
I've got to show my boss now.
All right. Now we move on to the next scenario. Azure AD conditional access.
Cool. Helps if you don't drop your machine. All right, so we're on the right screen. Here we go. So I've been thinking more and more about what you've been showing me.
Yeah.
Last night I was having a bit of a play, and you know I like to tinker because being your manager, it's hard to keep up with you. But I was using Salesforce, and I go home and I use Salesforce on a nightly basis because I like to help the sales team out. And there's quite a bit of information in there, and I think we do all right protecting our applications when we're in the office, but what can we do about protecting our applications when we're out and about? You've done some cool stuff for me around the Office 365 elements, but it's a third-party app. I really sort of took a bit of an approach on focusing a bit more on it, and I want to think about what can we do a bit more beyond that, but without making everybody enroll, our sales team will go mental if they can't just jump on their PCs and type in the Salesforce domain for us and then access it quickly.
All right. I have the perfect solution for you.
Okay.
But please don't tell me you've been making changes on your own without going through our change management.
I might have been. Some things to consider.
Yeah, I'll see what you've done.
Switch to... Because if I run up the My Apps portal, which is what I normally do on my device, the iPad...
iPad 6,
which is just signing in. it's even fallen off the network. All right. We'll skip this part and we'll go into you showing the configuration.
Oh, let me show how you configure that then. One. Oh, it's showing now.
Is it?
Oh.
It's saying it's connected. Oh, okay. It wants me to re-sign in. Give me 2 seconds.
Yeah, while it's on it, I'll show the configuration. So in Azure AD again, I can go configure Salesforce. So you have here the list of apps that you can control. So for Salesforce, the requirement was controlling access depending on your network location, or probably just enforcing multi-factor authentication.
Yeah, it'd be good, but what's gonna happen when I'm in the office? Are we gonna impact everybody when they're sitting in the office?
Okay. So we don't want that, of course.
No.
Let me go hit configure.
I think we jinxed it by saying how much better the network was.
No, I'm getting on it. Bear with us, please. All right, so what we're trying to do is to control a specific application, Salesforce. And being in it already now, you see that, hey, you have here a couple of things. You can enable access rules, you can enable multi-factor authentication, and say, hey, require multi-factor authentication when not at work.
So when I'm out of the office, I will get prompted for second level security on just Salesforce, not everything. So I don't, okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to have to sign into everything when I'm doing it. I'm only concerned about Salesforce right now.
All right, so does this work for you?
It sounds good.
Okay.
Doesn't work though.
Let's try to save it and try it out. So this is very instantaneous, right? So it should just work. There you go. Save already.
Okay. All right.
Try it out, boss.
So I'm finally back on my iPad. So what I want to do is I want to double check that what you've set is actually going to work for me. And you reckon it's just going to do, so it's not going to prompt me for anything right now. Literally not going to prompt me for anything right now.
Well, what you probably get is a call.
But I don't need it whenever I don't want it when I'm signing in though for the first time.
Yeah.
So it's got to be just for Salesforce, or else we're going to get way too many complaints from our users.
That's true.
And we've got too many users to have to worry about.
Yeah, because you just sign in, and it's not specific to Salesforce, you won't get anything.
Okay.
So if you just try Salesforce now over there, that's the only time you should be getting that requirement for multi-factor authentication.
Oh.
There. See.
So it's going to call me.
Yep.
At least it masked my phone number.
And guess what? We did not enable this per user.
Okay, so my phone's calling me.
All right, so you know that's real. And go through. Do you like that? Yeah.
So this is going to be the something I know and something I have that those security guys keep rambling on about.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay, great.
So comparing that with what we have for Exchange Online, in Exchange Online, we would normally tick on the user's bulk edit and say, enforce authentication per user. But here, we just did it for one application. No matter who tries to use it, they'll be prompted for MFA.
That is great.
Okay.
All right, well, I have to admit one thing, though. I couldn't not play.
Really?
So when the Microsoft guys were here, I was talking to them about our identity in the cloud, and I was quite concerned about it, and we talked about identity management. And one of the things they kept talking about is identity protection and so on, and some of the risk elements around it. I kept saying, look, I've heard those guys around the corner, the same guys with the jailbroken devices, talking about anonymizers, talking about protecting their identity because they don't want you and I knowing what they're doing.
Ah.
I do want to know what they're surfing, though. But they're using the Tor browser.
Okay.
That's anonymizing them. That's what I've heard.
the Tor browser, doesn't that take you to the dark web?
If you want to go searching for certain things there, I'm sure you'll find some funky things. But
that's where I saw you selling drugs.
Well, this week.
Oh, no. Okay.
You've got to compliment my IT salary. But the thing that's really bugging me is that session is a real, real concern for me. So I had a bit of a chat with the Microsoft guys, and we talked about what we could possibly do about it. Now, I know you've been doing all this cool stuff, but I just couldn't help myself. I want to see what can I do around the risk associated with my user or the session that they're on once this thing catches up. So what I've done, and what am I?
So you made a change request and approved your change request.
It's the beauty of being a manager, right?
Cool.
I took the ticket afterwards. And what I did is I had a bit of a look around, and I could see that people were actually coming in on an anonymous network.
Right.
They were hiding their IP addresses.
Ah.
That, to me, is fine that we know those guys around the corner. Fine, within reason, of course. We'll deal with them separately. But how do I trust that it is always them around the corner?
Hmm.
How do I know it's not somebody off Tor or a bot of some sort or something coming through on our network? So I can see here I've got 23 odd connections coming through, but 18 of them are coming from an anonymous IP address.
Uh-huh.
This isn't good for our business. We've got to be quite concerned here.
Yeah.
And the worst one being, you know, second worst being this COS guy. But
isn't that you?
Yeah, pretty much. So I had a bit of a play. And what I did is I said, you know what? We're going to create a what they call a risk-based policy, which is going to grant me access based on the conditions that I meet. This is what you've been talking to me about. So I'm learning. I am learning.
Cool.
But I've decided to apply it to everybody.
All right.
So
just like that.
Just diving in, right? Change control and all. But what I've ended up doing is going, you know what? I'm going to set up a signing condition that says if it's medium or higher, because it appeared as medium for this anonymous network.
Oh, you base it off that alert that
you
got.
Yeah, the risk assessment that I'm getting from the tools.
Okay.
And I'm saying, you know what, if it is above, medium or above, go through and assign multi-factor authentication. And right now, that's all I want to do. I just want to make sure that people jump through a few hoops while I assess what's going on. I'm probably going to end up blocking them. But for now, let's try and get an understanding of who it is and what they're doing.
So if it's a malicious person,
yep,
and they get multi-factor authentication, they may not be able to get through.
Exactly. And what I've realized that out of our 100 or 300 odd users, we've got 23 there that are going to be impacted by my change.
Okay.
So I've done it. Mm-hmm. I've applied it. And I want to show you it, though, because I'm quite proud of myself as, you know, as the non-techo in the house. But so what I've got, right, is I've got my normal browser.
On the left?
Yes. And on the right, I'm running the Tor browser.
Cool.
Just still connecting off to some stuff. But you can see, look, I'm going through Germany. I'm going through America.
Look at those IPs.
Yeah. So this is what these guys are doing on our network.
Mm.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to quickly sign in. Once it catches up on the Tor network.
Yep. How about the other one? Can you sign in the other one?
And you can see that's hit our company portal, right?
Right.
So this is our authentication point.
Yes.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to quickly just sign in here. And I'll sign in over here as well. So this second connection is the one we're trusting,
mm-hmm,
or the one I'm typing into now, the one on the left, where the one on the right is the one I'm not trusting.
Okay.
So while these policies kick into life,
sign in with the other one. So this...
Oh, if I sign in with the right password.
Needs a password. That's correct.
Helps when you've got fat fingers, I guess.
Well, it just lets you through because it's a trusted browser. While the other one...
So the other one finally caught up and has gone, hey, you're coming off an untrusted network. The session is anonymized. Our risk score was medium or above. I need you to do something.
How cool is that?
So what it's going to do now, it's going to do exactly like you did before, because I haven't set it up. This is on a connection basis, because our users don't always like to have multi-factor authentication on everything. Should have really changed my ringtone, but anyway.
And it's once again real.
Yeah.
Cool. That's pretty neat. So we can actually control based on the
risk profile.
Yes.
So that then means we've got those guys covered. We own those guys now.
Nice. All right.
We're back to five.
Yeah. All right.
So we've covered off a whole bunch of stuff now. We've covered off the location stuff. We've covered off the user, the application. We've covered off the session they're coming from. I think we've got ourselves in a really good position now where I can go and talk to our board and go, I've got the level of confidence that we're actually protecting our environment. But we're going to have to do more over time, and I'm conscious of that. So